And it's been interesting, my walk with the Lord the last year or two is I'll have an experience, and then the Lord will talk to me about that experience. Like a few weeks ago, I preached on your words can be missiles or they can be epistles. Epistles, as we know, are the books in the New Testament. It's the Word of God. And the Lord was saying, your words can be missiles, son. They can be destructive, or they can bring health and healing to people's lives and to people's minds and to people's hearts. Because it was a situation where I jokingly said something to a guy, and to me, I thought it was cute and funny, but he didn't think it was so cute, okay? He was offended. And sometimes we just don't think when we fire these missiles out of our mouth, you know, and they land and they hurt people. So I had to go and apologize to the man, one of my employees, and thank God he forgave me, okay? So I had another experience with the Lord that I want to share with you a couple of weeks ago. And I woke up 4 o'clock in the morning, and I had just a very disturbing sense about myself. And I didn't honestly know what it was. But there was something stirring in me that was kind of tormenting. It was weird. Never experienced anything like that before. And I thought, well, maybe I'm kind of in that. You know, sometimes you wake up and you're in that ozone where you're asleep and you're awake and you're kind of somewhere in between, you know. And I thought, well, I'll just shake myself out of it and whatever it is, it'll just go away. Well, it didn't go away. I laid there for about 5 minutes. And so I thought, I'm going to get up, walk around a little bit, get the blood flowing, and it'll probably go away then, whatever, you know. Well, it didn't. And I said, okay, I'm going to go back to the secret place where I go, which is Grandma Crawley's ex-room, where Gigi, as we used to call her, lived with us for a few years as we took as Marge and I took care of her. So I go back there because, you see, I think Gigi's one of my guardian angels. Gigi, speak to me, you know. I'll tell you, if you're going to have a guardian angel, that'd be a good one right there, wouldn't it, Charlene? Grandma Crawley, she was a sweet lady. But anyway, I got to talking and I prayed a little bit, you know. I don't feel like praying in the spirit. I just feel like getting quiet and listening. And as I was listening, I thought, well, wasn't getting a whole lot. I thought, well, I'll go to the book. One thing wonderful about the book is it'll always lead you to Him. It won't lead you to the devil. It'll lead you to Him. It's just a great focal point. You know, when you want to get in touch with the Lord and your mind's troubling you, as mine was that night at 4 a.m, I thought, well, I can always go to the book. Because the Lord said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which tell you of me. But what he was saying is, the book tells you about me. And there's a positive aspect to that, okay? And so when I want to break through the carnal realm, go to the book. And when you go to the book, you get a scripture that'll kind of put you in contact with Him. And then if you sit there and you meditate on that scripture, all of a sudden it'll start opening up to you. And you'll start hearing the voice of the Lord. He'll start downloading in you. The Holy Ghost will come and he's already there, but He'll download in you. He'll break through the darkness. And the scripture that the Lord gave me, he led me to, well, actually started talking to me about Goliath. He said, I want you to understand that what you're actually feeling is a principality and a power. It's called fear. And he said, that's one of the biggest and most powerful demonic spirits there is. And it plagues my children and my church. And he was saying, the fruit of the spirit of fear, if you want to know if you're believing into this spirit of fear or if you're allowing this spirit of fear to operate in you, he said, its fruit is worry, stress, depression, anxiety. And he said, son, whenever you're feeling anxious and stressful and you're worried, it's a spirit of fear working on you. Well, I've never been real big with this spirit stuff and talking about devils and, you know, demons and stuff like that. But I got to share what the Lord gave me. And the Lord was, I went to the Word. I heard him talking about Goliath and spirits of fear and stuff like that. I went to the Word and I was led to go to the armor of God. And I was reading the armor of God. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And when I got to this one verse, three times he said two words. Above all. Above all. Above all. Keep up the shield of faith. Then I got to thinking, the helmet of salvation, yeah, you put it on, that's the mind of Christ. The breastplate of righteousness is on us because we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, in God, in Christ Jesus. But the shield is something that you hold. I never thought about it. It's you hold it. And the scripture says, above all, and when the Lord says above all, he's trying to tell us something. He said, keep up your shield of faith. And I think there's a couple of reasons why the Lord is going to start really speaking to us about this shield of faith and about faith in general. Is because the only way we're going to be able to move some of these mountains out of our life, spirits of fear and whatever. And you know, Paul did say, God hath not given you the spirit of fear. He identifies it. It's a spirit. If you're fearful and you're worried and you're anxious and you're stressed, it's designed to do one thing. First off, it's designed to nullify your faith, to bring your shield down. Okay? It neutralizes. Fear will neutralize your faith. If you focus on worry, where's my next paycheck coming from? What kind of shape am I in my 401k plan? Is it going to be enough money when I retire? And when you get stressed out, oh my God, the kids are out tonight. They're going to get into drugs. They're going to have a car crash. Oh my God. All that is the fruit of a spirit that is working on you. But its primary goal, these principalities and these powers, their primary goal is to stop the destiny that God has for you in this earth. Fear and faith. The Lord showed me fear and faith only have one thing in common. They both look at the future and they're expecting something to happen. If you're operating in fear, then it's going to be nuclear war. There's going to be no food in the grocery store for you. The stock market's going to crash. Your money's going to go away. And that's your future expectation if you're operating in fear. If you're operating in faith, King David said, all my expectations in Psalms, all my expectations are in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatest praise are in the Bible. All my expectations, David said, are in him. Are in him. When he went against Goliath, and I just saw this verse this morning, Oscar. When he went against Goliath in 1 Samuel, when Saul was trying to put the armor, Saul was trying to put his armor on David, David said to Saul, I cannot walk in these. Listen to this. for I have not tested them. So David took that armor off. And the armor that Saul, who represents the type of the flesh, the carnal mind, Saul was saying, here, put this armor on you. He said, mm-mm. I ain't going to go up against that giant in the flesh. There's no way I can defeat a guy that's 9'6" tall with a sword that weighs 15 pounds, according to Google. David, a little shepherd boy, what is that telling us? There's a shepherd boy that's going to go up against Goliath. The same shepherd boy that was in him, Jesus is our shepherd, isn't he? He's our shepherd boy in a manner of speaking. Moses, a great deliverer of Israel, what was his occupation? He was a shepherd. And David, one of the most powerful kings to ever live in Israel, he was a shepherd. And then the shepherd comes. The shepherd comes. And we embrace him. So that shepherd is now in us. So we do not need the armor of Saul. We don't need it. We don't have to be worried about our health. Don't misunderstand me. Don't eat too many cheeseburgers, but whatever. You're going to eat them anyway. Okay. You're not going to worry about our 401k because we know that Christ is the source of our life. Everything in our life. We're not going to worry about losing our job because God is the CEO of every corporation in the world. He is the source. That's the armor that we want to be clothed with, is our faith in God. And that's really what this message is about. David went before Goliath with 5 smooth stones. And he took one of those stones, and I believe the Lord told me, he said, yeah, the 5 smooth stones, you know, they're Jesus, they're trust, they're grace, etc. But there was one stone in there called faith. F-A-I-T-H, and that's the stone he took and put that stone right between the head of Goliath, right where his mind is, his carnal mind. And it went clean through his head. One stone. God says, you're lively stones. You're lively stones. Talks about how his building is made up of spiritual stones, okay? But it only took David one stone to kill to bring down Goliath. And the Lord spoke to me, he said, and that stone is faith. Now, when I read in the armor of God, and I still had this weird thing on me, whatever it was, but when I got to above all, keep up the shield of faith, you know, I read above all, and when I read that, whatever it was gone. Just like that. I've never really quite had an experience like that before. But when I read above all, it left. And then I read the rest. Above all, keep up your shield of faith. How do you keep up your shield of faith? I asked the Lord. These are the questions I was asking God. This is all stuff he downloaded in me, okay, as I talked to him. He said, the way you lift up the shield, son, is by intimacy with me. That's how you keep the shield up. And then we were talking about shields, and actually I Googled shield, and it came up a story about Roman army, how the Romans had some of the largest shields of any armies. I mean, the Roman shield was like 4 foot high and about 3 foot wide, and it said they literally could crouch down behind them, or they could keep them over their head, and it would quench all the fiery darts of the Philistines or whoever else that was attacking against them. And then it also said in Google that when they were surrounded, they just used to take their swords or their spears and get down like this, their shields, excuse me. They'd get down like this, and in a circle, like the old Western days, they'd get the wagons to come together. And the Romans would have those shields all the way around themselves, and the Roman soldiers that were in the middle held their shields up like this. And I thought to myself, oh my God, it sounds like a turtle if you were looking down on it. Just be a big hard shell is all you could see. I no sooner said that, and Google went on and said, it was kind of like a turtle shell. But it was the Holy Ghost just speaking to me, you know, in advance. And then the Lord went on to say, in 2019, I'm going to do some tremendous things. The title of this sermon is God's Taking Off the Lid in 2019. He is. God's taking the lid off of us in 2019. But he's talking to us about faith. We started out in this walk by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. We're saved by grace through faith, which is the gift of God. But I think a lot of us have forgotten that's the way we started, and that's the way we had to continue to walk, is by faith, and in by faith in him. And we had to spend time with him. We had to give him the opportunity to download in our spirit to build our faith, because faith cometh by, thank you, faith cometh by hearing. And if you're not spending any time with the Lord, I don't know how much you're going to be hearing. And many times we spend time with the Lord when the doctor comes in with a Goliath and he says, you got cancer. Here's Goliath. What are you going to do now? You're going to do like David. You're going to go to the Lord. Right. Ain't no way I can kill that giant. And frankly, if you have any sickness or disease in your body right now, there's no way you can kill it. The doctors can help, and thank God for the doctors, because the intelligence that they got, and these pharmaceutical companies, the intelligence that they got is from the Lord to help us in our weak moments of faith, okay? But you know, the reason why King David was successful was because when he faced Goliath, he didn't say, I come in the name of Israel. I come in the name of the Baptist Church. I come in the name of, I'm Catholic. That's good enough, isn't it? I come in the name of the First Assembly Pentecostal Church of Cincinnati. No. He said, I come in the name of God. That's all I have, David said. I've tested him. That's the reason why he said about that carnal armor of Saul's. I can't wear this junk. I've never tested this. But in this, in essence, he was saying, I've tested God. I killed a lion in his name. I killed a bear in his name. Me, a human being, just like you and I. He was no different. King David was no different than you or I. He killed a bear, he killed a lion, and he killed Goliath. And the Lord is saying, what is the Goliath in your life today? What is the Goliath? If you don't have one, and I'm not putting something on you, you will have one. There isn't anybody in here that hasn't had a Goliath on his butt. We all have. Well, what is a Goliath? A Goliath is something that wakes you up at night and you're worried sick about it. It could be a kid on drugs. It could be what the doctor said. You have an incurable disease. It could be the company's laying off and you're probably going to get caught up in it and you don't have any money in your savings account. That's a Goliath. It brings fear and worry and stress. And what do those things do? They kill the body. They kill the body. Even the doctors will tell you that. Stress will kill you. Above all, keep up the shield of faith. You know, as Oscar, when we were praying and we were talking about, oh God, go to so-and-so, give them a healing, da-da-da-da-da. All the while I could hear the Lord saying, in 2019, I want to use you to go to the sick. I want to use you to go and fulfill your destiny and bring me glory. We need to get our shield of faith up going into 2019. Trust me, we need to get our shield up in 2019. What does 2019 mean? 19, I looked it up, God's numbers, I looked it up, 19. Thank you, Google. 19 means, praise God. Oscar, it means surrender. Praise God. 2019, make that the year that we surrender to the Lord. One means uniting with God. And then nine means being led to spiritual enlightenment, awakening, inspiration that leads to new beginnings. Praise God. 2019, it leads to new beginnings. It leads to more enlightenment. It means to waken up, waking up. And that's what God is doing and trying to do. You say, what do you mean try? God can do anything he wants to do. Well, yeah. But, you know, there's always a Jonah in us. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go there. I have other plans. I'm going to go to Tarsus. God ultimately has his way. But why do we have to face Goliath? Because that's when Goliath comes around. When the Lord's speaking, he's trying to bless us. He's trying to lead us into new dimensions. He's trying to call us up higher. But we're not listening. And then what happens? A crisis. A test comes your way.
Why'd you do this to me, God? Help me, deliver me out of this.
I submit to you that there's a lot of tests that we go through that we don't need to go through. There's a lot of crisis that we run into in our life. I don't think we really have to go through those crises. Now, I know that we live in this world and in this earth, and I know that there's going to be tribulations. But gee whiz, guys, if our shield of faith is lifted high, quenching the fiery darts of the spirit realm, Paul says, we don't war with flesh and blood, but with principalities in high spiritual places. I've never been a preacher to preach much or share much on demons and so on and so forth. But you know, it's like the Lord spoke to me. He said, you're not fighting these principalities and powers to get the victory. You already got the victory. You're fighting from a position of victory, not to get the victory. You have victory over sickness, over disease, over financial worries, over relationship problems. You have victory over all that through Christ, which strengtheneth me, through Christ, who is my wisdom, through Christ, who will allow none of these diseases to be put upon me, through Christ. It's all through Christ. It's all through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then, as I'm driving down the road, and I have my trusty secretary with me, my helpmate Marge, the Lord starts downloading in threes to me. And this is what the Lord is saying about 2019. By the way, 19 means faith. Faith, the year of faith. The Lord says, you are being conditioned. Conditioned in the Webster's Dictionary says to bring something into its desired state. God is conditioning us for the last 20, 30, however many years you've been in Christ, how many years you've been sitting in these pews, God says, I've been conditioning you to bring you into a desired state. Praise God. This hasn't all been in vain, brothers and sisters. He's been conditioning us. And he said then, now that I've got you conditioned, after 60 years or so, now I'm going to position you. I've conditioned you, now I'm going to position you. And position means to put or arrange in a particular place or way, to situate, to set, to stand. 2019, he's going to position us individually and as a church in 2019. And he says, now that I've conditioned you and I'm in the process of positioning you, I'm then going to commission you. And I'm going to give you the authority that your heart has been crying out for. I'm going to give you miracles. I'm going to give you signs. I'm going to give you wonders. I'm going to give all that to you because I've been conditioning you. Now, here's the way we do this. Then another three, he said, tell my people to press in to me to perceive what it is that I'm saying to them. And perceive means to be conscious of something and come to the realization and understand to perceive what it is that God has in store for you and for me. And he said, and then as you try and perceive and as you press in, like Paul said, I press toward the mark. Didn't Paul say that? I press toward. Are we pressing toward? Or are we just saved and we just go on about our merry way? Perceive, to become conscious. Then he says, when they press in to perceive what it is that I'm saying to them, they will make contact and then they will conceive. Then they will bring to birth. They will become pregnant with my plans and my destiny for them. And they will accept something as true and to feel sure of the truth. That's what conceiving means. You press into the Lord, and all of a sudden, boom, you make contact. Your spirit makes contact with his spirit. You start seeing him face to face, and then out of that, God pours that faith into you to move those mountains. And then he says, when you conceive, God says, then I will give you the faith to believe. Accept something as true, to feel sure of the truth thereof. 2019, here's another three or four. There is coming a separation. Weigh it in your spirit. I realize that I'm talking up here somewhat prophetically. If it comes to pass, praise God. If it doesn't, then I'm trying to help somebody through my own self-efforts, okay? But he says there's coming a separation, and separation is the action or the state of moving or being moved apart or a state of being of separation. He wants to separate us from the world, not from each other. He wants to separate us from the world. He wants to separate us from the flesh, the fleshly things that we're into, and he wants to separate us from religion. A lot of God's children have a lot of faith. But you can have a lot of faith in the wrong things. In the wrong things. You can have doctrines and traditions, and you have tremendous faith in that. But it's not going to bring life. It's not going to reproduce anything that's productive. It's not going to bring healing to anybody. So there's coming a separation, and as we separate by the grace of God, we're talking about grace, this is all grace, and as we separate, we have a separation, then we will come into an expectation, which is a strong belief that something will happen or will be the case in the future. And we'll have an expectation because of this faith that God has imparted to us by grace. We will have an expectation of a bright future, of a new beginning, of a new day that God is bringing to the earth. And then as we separate from the world, religion, the flesh, we have the expectation. He says, then you will have the participation. The participation is the action of taking part in something, getting involved, and contributing. Because faith, James says, without works is dead. And we're talking about the works of God. We're not talking about helping an old lady across the street, giving out some Girl Scout cookies. All that stuff is good, but we're talking about moving some mountains out of God's body. God wants his body to start coming into deliverance in 2019. And the way he's going to deliver his body is through his body. He's going to deliver his body through his body. And just as a little side thing here, the Lord spoke to me and he said, the answer to America is my body. It's my church. That's the answer. When the sons start being manifested, when they start being revealed, when I start exalting them in the glory, my glory is upon them, that is the answer to America. It's his children. It's his church. It's his body. And when I talked about having the shields, how the Romans would put the shields all around them and over top of them, they were covering themselves, not just themselves, but they were covering their brothers and their sisters at the same time. And the Lord said in Ephesians chapter 6, he goes down through the armor of God, and then he ends it with saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and making supplication for all the saints. Every one of us get our shield up. We gather together, one in unity, and we pray for one another. And I'll tell you something, there is not a fiery dart that can get through that kind of shield. And that's what God wants us to do in 2019. He wants us to get prepared in him, for it's by faith that we access grace. Amen? It's by faith we access grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. And then I'll finish it with a poem that he gave me. And the poem goes like this. It says, go away, Goliath, spirit of fear. Amen? We talked about Goliath being a spirit of fear. It says, go away, Goliath, spirit of fear. You have no place in me, for I have seen the face of God, and he has set me free. For there was a time in days gone by when I lived my life in fear, but now I walk in faith and power in my God who is always near. His name is Counselor, Father, Prince of Peace, and he is the mighty God. He has planted his seed of life so deep within my sod. And surely as I look to him for all my daily bread, I'll always have enough smooth stones to calm my troubled head. So the word to the body, not just Wings, but to the nations, wherever the body may be, is pick up your shield of faith. We are living right now. I know we don't like to emphasize this. I know we don't even like to talk about it, because it touches our world. But we are living in a dark day, if we haven't already figured that out. Just look around this earth. Look around this world. Look at the nuclear power and that man, that Saul, has available to himself. And the Lord wants us to be prepared in the evil day. When he talks about the armor of God, put on the armor of God. Prepare against the evil day. Now, we all have evil days. We all have problems in our body. Many of us have financial problems, blah, 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 blah. So we have evil days. But I don't know what kind of an evil day lies ahead, but I know that by faith is not going to touch us. I know it, because when Israel was delivered out of Egypt, out of the world, none of it touched them. They took the silver, they took the gold, they took the cattle, they took everything, and they went out into the wilderness. And I'll close with this. You know, Oscar, I saw something for the first time I never saw before in Samuel. God showed me, when he was delivering the people out of Egypt, out of bondage, it said he could have taken them the short way. He could have taken them the short way. But he said, I didn't do that because the Philistines were there and the fear would have overcome them. And they would have repented. They would have had a change of mind and said, I want to go back to Egypt. They weren't prepared. They weren't processed enough to deal with the Philistines. So he said, so I took them instead through the wilderness. Wow. So I'm thinking, it might be wishful, but I think it's the word of the Lord. I think we're coming out of our wilderness experience. And I believe God is going to raise up his church in this hour to do wonderful things. That's my expectation. I hope that's your expectation too. And I know that as we get before the Lord, God will fill your heart with hope and joy and expectation of his capabilities, what we can do through him. Because without him, we can do nothing. But through him, we can do all things, through Christ, which strengthens us. So get in your secret place. Spend some time with the Lord. You just might get healed. That sickness and disease just might, like that spirit of fear that was tormenting me. I got that word from God, and I was chewing on that word, and it left. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, because it is spirit, and it will bring life. It will bring life. Father, I know your word declares too that you came amongst your own, but your own received you not. But to as many as received you, to them gave them power to go on to maturity in you, Father. To take on your nature, Father, to believe in your word. And Father, that's why I pray for all of us, Father, starting with me first, that I pray, God, that we will perceive and receive that your plans and your purposes, Lord, will be fulfilled. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Oscar, you want to?